Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, church. I am really happy to be here today. It is Baby Dedication Sunday. But it is also Veterans Weekend. And so if you're a veteran here with us this morning, would you stand so we can honor you? We appreciate your service. We appreciate your sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, Pastor Ron and Lynette are traveling and ministering in some other churches. Isn't it good to be a part of a church where we live in an abundance? We have a surplus here, and we can send out our pastors to be a blessing to other churches around our nation, and we are happy to be able to do that. My name is Nathan. I'm a pastor here at our morning service, but my primary focus is at our night service. But Ailsa and I and our family, we love worshiping here, we love serving here, digging in with our morning crew however we can, and keeping everything synced up and unified with Pastor Shino leading the charge here in the morning. Thank you, brother. It's good to be here, bringing the word this morning. So we've been in a series called Casket Empty, and each letter of the series stands for something. And today we're in the E, which stands for exile. So we've got creation, Abraham, Sinai, kings, exile, temple. And then we switch into the New Testament, expectation, Messiah, Pentecost, teachings, and yet to come. And today we're in exile. Exile happened around 600 BC, and it's a time when enemy forces came in, invaded Judah and Israel, the two kingdoms that are in the Middle East, in modern-day Israel-Palestine area, and they took the people from there into Babylon, into exile. And the Babylonians had a way of taking over people and suppressing and subjugating cultures and nations in a very interesting way. They didn't just come in and annihilate. They didn't wipe everybody out. What they did instead is they took people back into Babylon and gave them the very best of the land. They said, come in, take our jobs, marry our people, have the best that this land has to offer, which puts God's people in a very difficult position. Do they come in and just become Babylonian? Do they stop speaking their native language? Do they stop celebrating God's holidays, God's holy days that he's established in their rhythms, in their years? Do they stop speaking God's language? Do they stop reading their sacred text? Do they stop worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and start worshiping the Babylonian gods? Do they assimilate? Or do they resist? Do they stay outside of the city? Do they stay outside of the jobs? Do they leave it all to the Babylonians and say, listen, you've got your culture and we've got ours? And today we've basically got a similar sort of question as people of God living in New York City. Do we resist? Do we hold the culture of today at arm's length? Do we only listen to our Christian music and only read Christian fiction and only go to church and that's it? And oh, thank God, now we got Kanye West, and we can listen to Kanye West now. Now he's okay. Now we're allowed to do it. Do we resist? Do we stay outside of culture and outside of the jobs and outside of the influence, outside of the media, outside of arts and entertainment? Do we just leave it all to the world? Or do we assimilate? Do we stay in our little Christian enclave, or do we just become like everybody else? And during this time of exile, God teaches his people a third way. There's a third way to live. There's a different way to live. And I'm going to call it the way of the exile. And I believe that this is something that God would have us learn from his people. What, 2,600 years ago, God started to teach his people how to move into culture. To not assimilate, but instead to be a blessing. To not just be like everybody else, but instead to be a blessing even to Babylon, even to their enemies, the people that have taken them away from their home, destroyed their temple, just trying to annihilate their culture, and God gives them a very special purpose and calling in this. Jesus describes it like this. He prays to God in John chapter 17. He's praying to God, and he's saying, Father, I have given them your word. Speaking of his disciples, God, I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth, as you have sent me into the world, so I am sending them into the world. And this is God's call on his people and on us today as Every Nation New York City, that Jesus is sending us into the world. He's sending us out, and we might be exiles in this world, but we're not without purpose, and we're not without the presence and power of God. And so we've been talking about exile now for kind of 2 weeks. The first week, Pastor Shino spoke about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was supposed to be a priest, and instead, on his 30th birthday, he was supposed to move from being an intern into being a priest. But instead, he found himself in Babylon, hundreds of miles away from the temple where he should have been a priest. But instead of God just leaving him there in his depression, in his disappointment, he has this vision of God bringing the temple to him. God meets us in exile. The first way that we learn how to be in exile is know that we are not alone, that God goes with us into the places that he's calling us into. God does not leave us alone. Then last week, we had an incredible Sunday right here on this stage. We had people from all around the world, from persecuted churches and people from all around the world. We had a woman from North Korea on this stage. We had a man from India. Do you remember Pastor Yesupadam leading us in that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? And he talked about how when he decided to follow Jesus, he took blows and he carries scars on his head and on his body because he lives as an exile. He knows what it is to hold glory, the glory of God, and the exile of this world together in tension. He knows what it is to follow God, and he taught us a bit of that, how to hold these things in tension, the expectation that God is going to come through, and also the disappointment of living in a broken and fallen world, in a world that particularly hates him. And so we hold these things together. As people of God, the glory of heaven, the glory of the temple, the glory that God does not leave us alone, the glory that we get to gather in this place and worship God and hear encouragement and be strengthened in our soul, and also the disappointment of living in a broken and fallen world. That this morning, that as my kids are coming in, scootering in, that there's a woman that gets mad at them and says, "Ah, kids." I thought, adults. You know, you used to be a child too. Let's always just remember that. And that's why we have these kids up on stage. It gives us hope for the future. Let's just keep holding on to the hope for the future together. We live in the tension, though. New York City, it's the best of times. It's the worst of times. There's beautiful things happening on the street. There's disappointments happening on the street. Just every day is full. I feel like New York City just cranks the contrast of our lives up to 11. And we see glory and exile all mixed together here in this place. So as God sends his people into exile, as they're carried off from Judah and Israel into Babylon, into enemy territory, there were some prophets that started to speak. One guy by the name of Hananiah, and he's got a good Hebrew name. He sounds like a good Bible kind of guy. But Hananiah says to the people of God, "Don't worry, we're going to get out of here in 2 years. Don't bother settling down. Don't bother assimilating. Don't bother learning the language. Don't bother getting a good job or building houses or making any plans for the future. God's going to get us out of here in 2 years." But God's actual chosen man, a man by the name of Jeremiah, brings the word of God. And he writes a letter in Jeremiah 29. And we're going to read this letter today and learn 6 points of how we live the way of the exile, and I believe it's going to relate very well to here in New York City. So Jeremiah writes this. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, 3 generations. Multiply there, and do not decrease." Where have we heard those words? Multiply, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1, right? It's garden language. What God is saying is, though you're in Babylon, make it like Eden. Though you're in Babylon, I'm going to come and visit you. I'm going to come and walk with you in Babylon. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city. The welfare, the Hebrew word there is shalom. Seek the peace, the prosperity, the welfare of the city. Start living for the good of Babylon, not just for your good. Start to think about more than just yourself, where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. Remember just the two-year prophecy. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years, not 2 years, but 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places that I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I've sent you into exile. Whew. Jeremiah knows how to write a long letter, but we made it through. Can I pray real quickly for us? God, today as we study your word, as we hear from you today, I pray, Lord, that you give us fresh vision for where you have sent us. Thank you, God, that we're not living in an actual exile. Thank you, God, that we live in a land that is free, where we can worship you freely. But Lord, I pray that we learn from these people, these ancient people, and your ancient words, God, modern truths for today. In Jesus' name, amen. So these people were living in the tension, and I believe that God has for us something for us, some points for us in how we can live as exiles, but as a blessing for our city. Not fully in, but also not fully out. That we're going to live in a tension together, and God walks through how we're going to do that. And so from this way of the exile, we've got 6 points from this passage in Jeremiah. And the first one is this. God says to his people through this letter, through the prophet Jeremiah, I have sent you into exile. I have sent you into exile. I don't know how you feel about living in the area that you live in. Perhaps you feel like you chose it. You're like, I chose to go to the best school here in New York City. Or perhaps you're like, man, I just am here because my parents paid for me to be here, or because I got stuck in this job that I'm still stuck in. I don't know if you chose to be here or if you just feel like you landed here. Whether you chose it or it's been forced upon you, here's God's word for you. He's placed you here. He has sent you here. And if God has sent you here, then there is purpose in your placement. If God has sent you here, then there is purpose in your placement. Stop thinking that this is all about you. Stop thinking that you just chose this or you had this thrust upon you. Stop being so in charge or such a victim. What the fact of the matter is that God has purpose for you right where you are. He has sent you. And if he sent you, then we need to start thinking bigger than ourselves. We need to open up our mind and our eyes to maybe God has more for me here than just the next job, than just finding that mate, than just finding getting the next degree or the next pay bump. Maybe there's something more for us to do here than just live the New York life. So point number two that we see is that God calls them to plant, to make houses, to make a home here. He says, build houses and live in them. So the people of God were faced with a choice. Would they just live outside of the city? Would they just create their own little Christian cultural capital on the Kabar Canal? Or will they move into Babylon, into the place of power, into the place of influence? A couple weeks ago, Jenny Lee, one of our young ladies in this church, she gave a testimony about how God called her into New York. And she said from this stage, God called me to marry the city, not just date the city. I remember about 15 years ago, God moved me to the city of Edinburgh to study. I landed there with a six-month visa and 1 semester of classes to study abroad in Edinburgh for 6 months. And while I was there, I was lonely, I was depressed, I was eating dinner by myself, and God started to speak to me in the middle of my depression, in the middle of this dark moment. 6 weeks I ate dinner by myself, but I started to pray and cry out to God in my loneliness. And he said, "Nathan, it's time to let your heart move here." And I was like, "God, I hate this place. It rains." Guys, we just had a friend visit Scotland, and they came back and they said, "It rained for the whole time I was there." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. It rained for 12 years. I was there for 12 years and it rained the whole time." But God said, "Nathan, let your heart move into this depressing, dark place." And guess what I got? I got a wife. I planted a church. I got a degree, 2 degrees. God blessed me, prospered me. And guess what? Edinburgh is better because I was there. I was blessed to be a blessing. I was blessed to bring the presence and power of God to that place, to release his blessing to that place, his love, his hope, his future, though it never stops raining. New York is a much better place. I'd rather take the cold than the wet. Just because then when you're wet, then you're just cold anyways. There's no way to overcome that. Build a home. Every nation in New York City, we are making a home here. We are building something here. As we give through the big give, as we choose to be a blessing to this city, as we go from into our 18th year, we just celebrated our 18th year, and there's something that's happening here just in the spiritual water. We're looking at New York and saying, "New York, your problems are our problems." Because we're here, and we're here to build, and we're not letting go. We're here for you, New York City. We're here to be a blessing, and we're going to build something beautiful that's going to be a blessing to everyone here. Christians, non-Christians, whatever background, we don't care. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're building something here. And so this morning, I'm going to put out a call to move into the city. And what I mean by that is, yes, maybe geographically, but at very least emotionally. Don't let go of this place. You might live in the suburbs. You might be coming in from Westchester or from Jersey or from Long Island. We love that. We want to bless you. We're here for you too. But don't let go of the city. Emotionally, don't detach. Don't move just into the Christian subcultures of and let go of the places of influence that are in this city. Emotionally, and if possible, geographically, move into the city. Don't let go. Raise your children here. Get a vision for this place, because this place, like Babylon, is a place that's influencing the entire world. This place. And so, church, we've got to be here. We've got to build houses here. We've got to support one another here to raise our kids and to get involved in culture. Elsa and I, when God moved us here, I felt like I was just drugged into Edinburgh, and God had to give me a vision for this. But I had to believe to move into this city. I trusted God and I followed him, but Elsa and I are moving here with at least a 20-year vision. We're building in this place. We're sending our kids to school here. We're going to raise them here. We're going to send them to college here. We're starting to think about how to get them into CUNY schools and let them grow up in this place and influence this city for his purposes, to make it a better place. I learned this in the past week or so, that through churches in New York City and the surrounding area, churches are giving in social services, in volunteer time to our city, an estimated $8 billion a year. The churches, through volunteer time, are giving an estimated $8 billion a year back to the city in volunteer time. We are here as Every Nation playing our small part, but also the body of Christ on a bigger part. We're here. And New York City, if we leave, you're going to have to raise taxes by a lot. All right? We're here and we're blessed to be a blessing. This is not just a little, you know, little thing that we're doing. But we're making a difference here because we've chosen to build houses here, to get involved in the fabric of our community, to get a vision that's beyond ourselves, to not check out, to not stop watching the news, to not stop participating in local elections, to not run for office and make schools ourselves, because we are here for this city. We're going to build houses. Point number three, we're going to plant and eat. Plant gardens and eat their produce. This is speaking of long-term vision for our livelihood. We're not just going to think about today and how we're going to eat today, but we're going to plant and build into our community a long-term vision for our livelihood. So my call through this is to stop thinking about your job as just a place to build your career. Start thinking about it as a way that's going to build into this city, a place that's going to build into your future here, and not just be using it to get the stamp on your resume and then get out. Not just think about your college education, your high school education as a way to build your career, build your resume, and then leave. But plant here. Dig in here. Get a long-term vision for where you are. Start to cultivate relationships here. Cultivate this place because it will feed you as you feed it. It's going to minister to you as you minister to it. And so start to dig in and plant roots here, which I know is scary because New York City is a transient place. I've already had friends leave. Been here for 3 years and I've already seen how transient this place is, which is why I want to preach even harder and put the vision out there even more for us to plant roots here. God might have you here just for a temporary season, but here's the thing, when he moves you, not when it gets hard, not when you give up, but when he moves you, you're going to have left an impact because you planted roots here and you dug in and you cultivated your life here to leave a lasting impression, to leave a lasting impact in New York City. You didn't just treat it like a place to bump you up, but you said, New York, your problems are my problems. Your issues are my issues. I'm going to plant in and dig in with the church. I'm going to commit to something. I'm going to make a difference where I am because I'm going to plant and I'm going to eat the produce that I produce here. The fourth point, is he says, get married and make babies and let your kids make kids and then the kids' kids make kids. And I know that not all of us are married here. And if you're single, then this applies. What Jeremiah is saying here, remember that when family units would get together, it wasn't just a marriage of two people, two individuals like it is today. You date, and then you go out, and then you might get married or might not, and then it's just about you, and you create your own little nuclear family. It was more about families joining together. It was more about people groups joining together. It wasn't just about the individuals getting married. It was about the whole tribe getting together. And so I believe that there's two modern applications for this. One is for us to think multi-generationally, for us to bless our children and bless those who are older than us as well. Honor those that have gone before us. Honor them. Stick with them. Learn from them. Those that are older, wiser, have more experience than us. We need multi-generations. We need the three generations here. We also need the young. We're going to bless the young and continue to focus on next generation ministry, on our high school, Every Nation High School, and our Every Nation Youth, and our Every Nation Kids, and our Every Nation Campus. We're going to focus on the next generation because we believe that God has purpose for young people, and we're not going to say, kids, when we're walking down the sidewalk. And we're not going to say that when we're walking through the halls of our church. We're going to bless the kids. We're going to bless the mess that they make, and the noise, and the craziness. Bless him. I'm going to say that to myself because my kid complained all through the subway today because we put him in a woolly sweater and he was like, I itch. I'm like, bless you, son. I love you. I'll get that sweater off of you. My parents used to give me nickels to wear with itchy sweaters. I feel like the inflation may have raised to $1, but he doesn't know what either of those things are yet. So just give him a penny. We're going to think multi-generationally. But then, as well, we're called to covenant commitment. We're going to think in covenant. And so there's one application. We're going to think multi-generationally, the call to get married, the call to plant and give your sons and daughters in marriage. But also, especially, I think this is for married and non-married people, we're going to think multi-generationally. But also, we're going to think in covenant commitment. We're going to think in covenant relationships, which is very countercultural to our individualistic New York City society. We're going to commit to one another. We're going to dig deep and build deep and strong relationships here. We're going to stand with one another. We're going to ask the hard questions. We're going to commit to one another. And when the going gets tough, we're going to get a little bit tougher. When people offend us, we're going to learn to grow and forgive. When relationships get tough in a church, we're going to get a little bit tougher and apply even more of the grace of Jesus Christ into those relationships, because we're not giving up on each other. We're not just blowing out just because somebody said a word that I disagree with. We're not giving up on each other just because you voted for somebody different than I voted for. Because we see that world a little bit differently, but we're going to place our hope in the one that is to come. We're going to place our hope in something bigger and greater. We're going to forgive each other like Christ forgave us. We're going to call each other higher just like Jesus is calling us higher. We're not going to give up on each other. And so I'm going to put the call out through this to follow Jesus in a deeper way, in the way of discipleship. When Jesus calls his people to follow him, the disciples to follow him, he didn't just call Peter, and he didn't just call John, but he called them together. He didn't just call Levi, the tax collector, and Simon, the zealot, that wants to kill, literally. Simon ran like a terrorist group that killed tax collectors. And Jesus said, I'm going to call you guys together. I'm going to bring the most crazy leftist and the most crazy right wing together. I'm going to get you guys together and make you disciples under Jesus Christ. I'm going to call you together. We're going to create covenant commitment in this place. Covenant commitment to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to make disciples and be disciples. We're going to commit to a church. Maybe this church, maybe another church. Commit to a church and then turn up. Let your name be known in a place. Leave your mark in a place. Leave your legacy in a place. We're going to think multi-generationally. We're going to think covenantally. And the fifth thing that this passage tells us to do is pray and seek the shalom, or the welfare. But seek the welfare of the city, Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Seek the welfare, seek the shalom of the city, the peace, the prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. For when it prospers, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. This is such a good verse for us as Christians, because sometimes we say, let the world go to hell, and we'll just save ourselves. We're just waiting for the rapture. That is not something that we teach, preach, or believe in here, that we're waiting for the rapture. It might happen, but in the meantime, God has called us to engage in our culture. God has called us to plant in our culture and not just create some sort of Christian enclave where we only listen to Christian music, we only read Christian literature, and we only watch Christian TV shows. No, we're going to engage. We're going to pray for the prosperity of our city. We're going to engage in the seven mountains of influence here. As a church, we love to pray for and celebrate the seven mountains of influence, which are these. They're government, media, arts and entertainment, business, family, education, and religion. We're going to pray and bless and believe for those that are in these areas of influence, that are in these areas of influence, so that we can create an influence and a blessing in our society, in this culture. The book of Daniel is actually a book about the exiles. And he and his friends climbed the ladder of Babylon. They didn't climb the ladder to infiltrate and execute the top man and get him out of there. They actually climbed the ladder to be a blessing. They climbed the ladder to be a blessing to the king and advise the king. And they dug into that Babylonian culture so deep, but that by the time they left, kings had come to know the one true God. The kings of Babylon had come to know the one true God. And they had made God so famous in that area that when an enemy king, King Cyrus of Persia, invaded Babylon, he knew about God. And he set them free from exile. 70 years later, we read this in In Ezra chapter 1. In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout his kingdom and put it in writing. He says this, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, a pagan king writing about the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all of the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So what he's saying is, God the one true God, has charged me. God has become so famous in this area now because God's people have climbed the ladder. God's people have been such a blessing. The Lord, the God of heaven, has become famous in that area. King Cyrus, God knows of him, and God charges him to build a house that is a temple in Jerusalem. And so when Cyrus invades Babylon from Persia, he sets God's people free. He says, go back to your land. But here's the deal. I'm not going to send you back empty-handed. I'm going to send you back with money. I'm going to send you back with donkeys. I'm going to send you back with horses and the cattle and the livestock that you need so that you can go build a temple for the one true God. How incredible is that? When we're serving in this city, when we're working in this place, sometimes it can be easy to let the cares of this world wash over us. As a church, we've got a vision to transform the city one life at a time. And the task can be huge. The task can be daunting. But in the midst of it, we're always looking out to a future hope that we're not doing this alone. That God's power and his presence are here. And whatever we see happening today, no matter how bad it gets, God has a plan. God has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to set us free, to bring a hope and a future to this earth, that he will redeem and renew all things. And so as we work, yes, we work to see people come to know Jesus, but we also work to see the shalom, the peace, the prosperity of this city happen. We work for our God and we work for our city. We hold these things in tension and we don't despair because we've got a future hope. We also don't just strive and just try to prove ourselves like so many people in this city because we've got a future hope. Our hope is in something other than just our career. Our hope is in something other than just our financial situation. So we hold on to that hope. It gives us hope now and humility as well. It saves us from despair and also saves us from overwork and burnout when we hold on to that future hope. The sixth thing that we do, and I'm going to invite the band up as I come in for a close here, and the ushers can also prepare the communion elements here. The sixth thing that we do is we follow the ultimate exile. We follow the ultimate exile. And this is what I mean by this, is that the ultimate exile is Jesus. Jesus leaves heaven, leaves the beauty of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a zillion years, a millennia, whatever. He leaves constant and perpetual praise, the beauty, the glory, the splendor, the righteousness of heaven where every tear is wiped away, where there's no more sorrow, depression, or pain, no more death or destruction in heaven. And he comes down into this place of exile, this place where people are far from God, this place where nobody's worshiping God, and God enters in. He says, if I can't bring you into heaven, then I'm going to bring heaven to you. Just like God sent his people into exile to be a blessing, God comes after us to be a blessing. A wicked king could bring Israel out of exile, but only a righteous king could bring us in, into relationship, into the fullness of joy that comes from knowing God, into our promise and into our purpose, into building a temple for him here in New York City. Into what we are doing together as a church. Jesus is our ultimate exile who left heaven and came after us here on earth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, 12, excuse me, Hebrews 13, 12 through 16 says this. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate, meaning that he was crucified outside of the city walls. And in order to sanctify the people through his own blood, therefore, let us go out to him outside the camp. Leaving, this means basically for us that we're going to leave the world behind. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 through 16. Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside of the camp, meaning that we're leaving behind the world and bear the reproach that endures. For some of us, when we follow Jesus, it's not a popular decision. It's not an easy decision. You say, Pastor Nathan, it might hurt my career. And Jesus in this moment is saying, yeah, it might. But you know what it's going to help? It's going to help your eternal destiny. It might hurt your career, but it's going to help your eternal destiny. Because this world is about more than just our perpetuation. It's about more than just our immediate reputation. It's about what God is doing here. And so we're going to bear the reproach that he endured. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, acknowledging his name. So everywhere we go, we're going to praise God. Everywhere we go, we're going to let him be known. Everywhere we go, we're going to be a blessing to him and to others. And then the author of Hebrews says this, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice is pleasing to God. While we're not of this city, God has sent us to this city to be a blessing. While we're not going to play New York City's games, it doesn't mean that we're going to just entirely withdraw from New York City's culture. But we're going to come into this place as exiles, but also as a blessing. And we're going to hold all of what God is doing here in tension together. It might affect how the world views us. It might make us seem a little bit odd that we don't fully participate in this culture. It might make us at times scared that we're going to be seen or perceived as outsiders. But God's word to us is this, whether you are totally succeeding in New York City's game, climbing that ladder like never before, your resume is hot, you've got the greatest apartment, that might be some of us. And some of us, New York City is pressing us down and pushing us out and trying to eject us with all of its might, grinding us down. Some of us feel like New York City's insiders. Some of us feel like New York City's outsiders. Jesus' word to us is, whatever you feel like in New York City, remember this. You were born an outsider of heaven. You were born a stranger and an alien far away from my purposes and plans, but I came to rescue you. I came to save you. I came to bring you into my purposes. I came and became an outsider so that you might become an insider of heaven. I came to give you a hope and a future so that even when this world passes away, we've got a city that is to come. New York City is not eternal. New York City is not forever. This concrete jungle where dreams are made of will go away. But there is a city that is to come that will never go away. And Jesus' call to us as we live here is to live for that city, to let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, to get a vision beyond ourselves for this city, to live beyond ourselves and to bring heaven on earth. Though it might make us outsiders here, we're going to make this place better. We're not just going to play New York City's game. We're not just going to live for ourselves, but we're blessed to be a blessing. We're in the world, but not of the world. And we're going to make things better here. For some of us, this means that we've got to start to live for more than just ourselves. We've got to follow Jesus. We've got to give our lives to him. For others of us, it's about believing for more than just ourselves. So right now, I'm going to give us the opportunity to just respond. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Bruce is going to come up and lead us in communion. Jesus, we want to follow you. God, we want our lives to count. We want our lives to be more than just about the rat race here in this city. God, we want the grind to be more than just about elevating our career or boosting our resume or finishing our degree. But God, we want this work that we're pouring out to be of eternal purpose and significance. God, I pray for each and every person here that you would elevate our vision, that you'd make our lives here more than just about ourselves. We'd understand that God, in you, you've made us insiders of heaven, and we're here to live for more than our personal gain. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps help others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.